we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday, Brevard County. I know a young lady that really is excited about today. Actually, I know several people who are very excited about today. This is the day that the Lord has made. They're going to rejoice and be glad in it. There's a number of college students. They're off taking final exams, and for some of them, they're in the final stretch of their academic career and getting ready to discover the reality of real life living. I have a mindset, and that is this. When I was in college, I was living in a fantasy world. And then I got to get out and experience the reality of life. And so there's a lot of people graduating college here in the next few weeks and high school. And so let's pray that God leads them and guides them. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. I want to extend a personal invitation to you today to come and be a part of our vintage service at 11 a.m. We're going to be preaching the Word of God. We're going to be praying for miracles, and we are going to be praising and worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're singing hymns and some older choruses. So come and be a part of that. I will be sharing the Word today. So then tonight is our kids ministry program. We want to invite you, if you have children or grandchildren, kids in the neighborhood, that you would like to have them brought up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. We want to encourage you to come and have them be a part of that. So that's coming up today. That ministry starts at 6 o'clock tonight with free food, 6:30. Our classes start, and they will be on their way home as early as 7:45. Come and let that be a part of their life. Want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 4 today. I'm not going to read everything that I have been reading for the past several days, but I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. We're going to pick up in verse number 5, our discussion today. I do want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. Thank them for being a part of Merritt Assembly of God. When I talk about that there were six people in church that first Sunday that I was there, two of those people were from the family that owns Jits Concrete. So they predate me to at Merritt Assembly of God. There's about three people that still attend that have been there longer than I have. And so I thank them for their support and for their faithfulness. I will tell you, the matriarch there in the family of Jits Concrete, she has testimony after testimony after testimony of God healing her body. We were on the phone discussing this a little over a week ago, and just all of the goodness of God. She was calling to share her latest testimony, and we are rejoicing. God is on the throne. I am thankful that he's still healing, that he's still saving, and he's still restoring. A little over a week ago, we heard a testimony of a God had reconciled a marriage that had been through all sorts of serious trouble, and that God had reconciled and restored husband and wife together. And we were very thankful that God still is in the reconciliation business. Amen. So here we are, Isaiah chapter 4, going to begin reading at verse 3. This should be the last day that we are in Isaiah chapter 4. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that he who's left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. You have to understand that when Isaiah is writing this, they actually still had the temple there in Jerusalem. Solomon's temple had been built. It was a glorious thing. It had been birthed in the heart of David to build that temple. And God said, you are not the one to build this temple for me because there's been so much bloodshed. He said, but your son shall build this temple for me. The thing I love about David is you didn't say that I couldn't make the preparations for it. And so David went into the presence of the Lord. The blueprints of the temple were, you know, downloaded or uploaded into him, downloaded, I guess. And so he had the plans, the prints. He knew the weight of the fork and the utensils. He knew where everything was going to position. He laid it all out, and then he stored up $1 billion worth of his own resources. That's not too bad from coming from a servant or a shepherd boy to being on the throne and God promoting you and giving you peace on every side and people come and lavishing gifts upon you. That was just what David had out of his personal treasury, not just what was coming from the kingdom resources. And so he said, I may not be able to construct it, but I can see it. I can see what it's going to look like on paper, and I can make the provision for it before Solomon goes to construction. So that's the type of atmosphere that Isaiah was used to, that there was a temple that was stationary. It was fixed. The people came to the temple. But what we see described here in Isaiah chapter 4 is that God is saying in this temple and in the city of Jerusalem, I am getting ready to do a repeat. I'm getting ready to have an encore. I'm getting ready to do in this city what I did for your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt. Let me take you back to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. And verse number 19, it said, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And if you were to read into chapter 14, where Pharaoh comes and he is trying to recapture, he's had a change of heart, and he's decided that he doesn't want to let the children of Israel go. At that point in time, that you will find, let me see if I can find out or find the verse here. And it says in verse number 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. You see, there was that cloud that was being described in the book of Exodus. It was the Shekinah glory cloud of God. It was saying, you know what? I am going to dwell in the midst of my people. Now, when they are coming out of Egypt, that cloud is there. And sometimes you and I will have the tendency to be more impressed by the size of our adversary than we are about the cloud that is the presence of God. You see, I don't believe that it was just a fluffy white cloud that just kind of appeared in the sky. I believe this was a divine manifestation that says, I am here to make this journey with you. Not as a silent partner. I'm here to make this journey as the king. I'm here to be your protector. I'm here to be your provider. I'm here to be your wisdom and your counselor. And so it was a great deal of comfort to the children of Israel when they came out of Exodus, or when they came out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, that they could look up and they could see the cloud and they would say, God is still exactly where he needs to be. He provides shade for me during the day. He provides light and heat for me at night. He positions himself between my enemy and myself. And God is never out of position. That should be encouraging for you and I, that God is never out of position. You know, when the children of Israel were crossing the sea and the storm came up because Satan did not want Jesus reaching the other side, and the disciples began to be overwhelmed, their natural abilities were not going to be sufficient to get them from the side of the land that they were on to the other side of the lake. And they said, we're going to drown. We're going to die. And Jesus doesn't care because he was asleep in the front of the boat. And they woke him up and said, we're dying. We're going down. The ship's going down. We're dying. Jesus rose up and he said, peace be still. He calmed the storm. And then he said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. See, I don't want to be that person of little faith. You see, on that day, they gave greater credence to the clouds and the wind and the waves than they did the manifest presence of God. You see, it wasn't so much that it was the cloud as it was the manifest presence of God. I encourage you that whatever you are going through, whether it is a transition from one location to another, whether if you're on your journey from bondage to liberty, where whatever you are doing, I encourage you, keep your eyes on the manifest presence of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And however Jesus is responding is how you should respond. And I will tell you this, Jesus is never going to panic. Jesus is never going to panic. One of my favorite stories in the scripture is the people didn't like what he was preaching one day in the synagogue, and so they took him to the edge of the cliff, and they were going to throw him off the cliff, but it wasn't his time, and Jesus walked right through them. He walked right through them from the edge of the cliff, right through them, and went about his ministry because it was not the time of his departure. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, it's one thing to look at the history books and to see what God has done on behalf of his people. It's another thing to hope that he will do that for us. But the prophet Isaiah in chapter 4, he says that God was going to do it again. God was going to do it again. He wasn't going to do it for their ancestors. He was going to do it for them. Someone once said, God has no grandchildren. It is up to us to make sure that we communicate to our generation the miracle-working power of God. My daughter-in-law was sharing a testimony the other day that a friend of theirs was expecting a baby, and they were real concerned about it. And so they had gone through a test. They couldn't detect a heartbeat. And so they, you know, the doctors were giving them the negative news, and they said, we're going to do another test. And when they did that test, they detected the heartbeat. But when they did that test, they said, but we are detecting some abnormalities, and we encourage you to terminate the baby. And they said, that is not an option. And so they said, okay, well, we'll just have to keep an eye on it. And so they were continuing to pray. And what happened was they went back and they did another test. And that time when they came back from that test, they said, you know what? We were mistaken. This baby is perfectly healthy. Praise God. Praise God. That God is not just relegated to the history books, but He is a miracle worker right now. The faith that you and I have been entrusted with is not just for our Sunday morning experiences. It is for the days that we live. You see, ministry is what takes place outside of the four walls of the church as well as inside the four walls of the church. I encourage you today, live by faith. Live by faith. Live knowing that God is not just residing with the pastor. He just doesn't come to visit when you are inside the four walls of the church, but He wants His presence in your daily life. Now listen to what it says here in Isaiah chapter 4. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. That means that God was looking for His manifest presence to be seen, that there would be evidence of it at everybody's house. Wherever they met, what would happen if all of a sudden the manifest presence of God was known when you were at the grocery store, when you were at the shopping mall? Now, I've dealt with the people at the mall before. We were trying to participate in an event that they had, and they made no uncertainty to us that we were not welcome at that event. And it was like, are you serious? We're not looking to hold a church service here. It's a business expo. Nope. No churches allowed. Really? Well, praise God. So I have this. In fact, I will tell you, I have a picture in my office that I'm believing God for. I have a picture because we are thankful for the place that God has brought us ministry-wise, but we are believing God to be able to touch more lives in Brevard County. I'm telling you, we cannot do it on our own. We need the miraculous presence of God. And I have this facility that I'm praying and believing God for that is so far out of the realm of possibility that you would call me delusional if I told you about it. But you see, here's the reality. One day I had a part-time job and I was working in this place and I was greeting people who were doing Christmas shopping. And I would greet them at the door at 6 o'clock in the morning, because that was how early things opened back then. And I'd say, Merry Christmas. Welcome to blah, blah, blah. Enjoy your shopping. And I'm telling you, people weren't used to seeing people that bubbly and vivacious that are. And pretty soon somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, you can't be wishing people Merry Christmas here. And it's like, oh, okay. And so I went from Merry Christmas, welcome to blah, 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 enjoy your shopping experience, and said, welcome to so-and-so. Welcome to so-and-so. Have a good day. And I, you know, because I really do like to bring joy to people's life. And so one of the reasons that I believe that God wants to provide that facility for is because I'm looking forward to a day where I can stand in that entryway again and say, welcome to such and such. Welcome to Merit Assembly of God. Enjoy the presence of the Lord today. Welcome to Merit Assembly of God. Enjoy the presence of the Lord today. I believe that God can make that a reality. He wants his presence to be seen, whether at day or at night, over every house and over every place of assembly. I believe over every business that God has the best business plan for your business. It says, for over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge and a shelter from storm and rain. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what happens to our body. I've heard over and over again of people who have gotten lost outdoors, and it said that they either suffered from exposure or they died from it. And I was like, I don't really know how, I don't know what happens biologically whenever we are experiencing that exposure. But I do know this: God has provided a place of refuge for us. He is our fortress. He is our sanctuary. He is there to provide us shelter from whatever is threatening us at that time. Listen to what it says. Shade in the daytime. I first came to Florida in 1977, in the summer of 1977. My parents, there were seven of us, I believe. There were seven or eight of us that drove from Oklahoma to Florida in a Buick Centurion convertible. It was a very large trunked vehicle. It was a convertible. Most of us kids were relatively small in stature at that point in time. And so we kind of squeezed together. It was in the days before mandatory seatbelt laws were in place and all of that. But we came to Florida. The trunk would probably be described by some people as a three-body trunk. I mean, it was a long, long vehicle. And I got so sunburned. Just about all of us did. One of my relatives ended up with sun poisoning because we didn't realize that if you were out in Florida sun in the month of July, that it could really damage you. Okay. And so since that time, whenever I am down here and I'm outside, if I'm going to the beach, I'm not going to be at the beach for long because I'm not going to allow myself to get cooked and overexposed. So, you know, I go to my dermatologist every 6 months and he checks to make sure that I'm okay. God says, I'm going to be a place that if things are too hot, I'm going to be a place that can bring shade from the heat, refuge from the heat. And if there is a violent storm that is taking place, you are going to find that I am a place of shelter. I have been caught outside in storms a number of times. And depending upon what was going on was my reaction. On my birthday, I like to go and play golf if I'm able to schedule-wise. It's just something that I like to do. And one year I went out on my birthday, one of the worst storms I have ever been in my entire life, lightning dancing all over the place. It was absolutely stupid to be out there, and it just blew up out of no place. And I was looking for a place of refuge. I am just so thankful that I lived through that day. There was a shelter that was provided there, and I was so thankful that it was there, that I could find a place to get out of the elements. You know, when you're in a spiritual battle, when you're in a spiritual storm and the winds are beating against your house, there is only one house that is going to be able to survive, only one shelter that will withstand the storm, and that is the house whose foundation is built upon hearing and doing the Word of God. I encourage you, make preparation now that Jesus will be your shelter when the storm comes. My son has a next door neighbor that I have gotten into a few conversations with. He used to live down in South Florida. He lived in South Florida when Hurricane Andrew came. His home was one of the only homes that survived in that area where Hurricane Andrew came ashore. And it was because his house was built to a higher standard than the rest of the homes. See, he didn't just build it to what code said was minimum. He went above and beyond that. And what happened was, after the storm, people said, you know what, we need to build our houses to a higher standard. I want to close today's broadcast by letting you know this. Sooner or later, there's a storm that's coming to your life and a storm that's coming to my life. You can choose to live your life and build your life and build your spiritual house on a low standard, or you can build it to God's standard. You can do whichever you want, but I want my life to be the life that testifies to the glory and to the provision and to the refuge of God, that when the storm comes and when the storm goes, that my house will still be standing because Jesus is my shelter. Maybe you're listening to this broadcast today and you have been accustomed to living according to the very lowest level of commitment and the lowest level of holiness that you could find. But today I want to encourage you, build to a higher standard, because God wants to be your fortress and your protection. He wants to shield you from the storm. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for every listener, God, that we would look at your word and realize that it is your wisdom for us. God, I pray that we would prepare now before the storm, so that when the storm comes, we will be able to survive, and we will be shining testimonies to the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.